much to many of our chagrins, it is that very pink and red time of year, with Valentine's Day right around the corner. And I can see the terror in a few husbands' eyes in the room. It's okay, it's not today, right? It's not tomorrow either. You've got till Tuesday to get your act together. But it is that time of day when every grocery store or drugstore or any store, basically, that you walk in right now, you're assaulted by the pink and red. Pink and red. Boxes of chocolates and cards and flowers and frosted cupcakes and heart-shaped cookies greet you at the door. And of course, it's all in the name of love. So I decided in honor of Valentine's Day that this morning we're going to talk about love. But to the disappointment of some and to the relief of many, we will not be talking about romantic love this morning. In fact, we'll go nowhere near the Song of Solomon and its scenic language. But rather this morning, we're going to talk about Christian love, the Christian love that we have for one another. So turn in your Bibles to one of the greatest single verses on love. No, we're not headed to 1 Corinthians 13. Flip well past that. To 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll find one of the greatest single verses, because it really is just that. It is a single verse on the idea of love and a command to love one another. So when it comes to the big picture, wide angle lens, 1 Peter letter written to people who are we're dealing with suffering, and it has a great theme of sort of the end time, sort of looking ahead to the end of things. And this second theme actually is going to be the thing that sort of leads us into our verse today, this theme of sort of the end coming. And so look at 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to begin. You see it right away, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. So Peter, you're getting near the end of his book. He's encouraging his readers to sort of live their lives in light of the idea, in light of the fact that Jesus really could return at any moment. Right? That the end of things could come literally the next minute. So Peter's encouraging then his audience to live a certain way as a result of the fact that you know, when Jesus comes back, you really don't want to be caught doing the wrong things. You want to be living rightly. So Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. And then he gives a command about being self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And then in verse 8, we get our great verse about love. And it begins above all. And above all. So Peter said, look, the end of all things is at hand, right? Realize that the end of time could come imminently, that Jesus could return tomorrow. The end of all things is at hand, so do some things like, you know, be sober-minded, be self-controlled, but above all, Peter says, the thing of supreme importance, the way that you should live, the thing of supreme importance, what does Peter believe to be important above all? Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We can immediately say, okay, love one another earnestly. So we gotta consider, okay, who is he talking about that needs to love one another? He's speaking to believers here, and so it's not a command directed simply to love your spouse or your family or your neighbor even here. It's love one another, speaking to his Christian believing audience here who's receiving his letter. So it's really have love for one another. Love the believers around you specifically. And of course, this will include, hopefully, your spouse and your family and your neighbor, those sitting in the chairs next to you right now, But we got to realize that here his command to love is to love one another, love the fellowship of believers. And as we look at this great verse on love, this great command that Peter says, above all, a thing of supreme importance in living in light of the end is to keep on loving one another earnestly, because love covers a multitude of sins. As we look at this verse, we can split it into two parts. Split it in half. And the first half is the what, and the second half is the why. First half is the what. What are we to do? Love one another earnestly. The second part is why. Why should we love one another earnestly? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at these two parts, at the what. What does it mean to love one another earnestly? And then why do we do it? What does it mean that love covers over a multitude of sins? And it's such a perfect message for Valentine's Day because, frankly, Valentine's Day gets so commercialized and so obsessed with romantic love, and you hear the word 100 times a day for the next 3 days, and if you watch any TV right now, 50% of the commercials that come up are about diamonds or chocolates or flowers because it's Valentine's Day, and this is the way you love, right, is by giving someone something or some grand emotional gesture. And it's a perfect time then for us to talk about what Christian love is. So first, the what. What should we do? Peter gives this command to keep loving. It's a command, keep loving one another earnestly. And so we've already said that the one another refers to your fellow believers. And while that should include, you know, our spouses or boyfriends or girlfriends, right, that it's not limited to this, of course. It goes beyond that to the whole body of Christ. We're to love them earnestly, but we really need to ask the question, what does this mean? Right? What do you mean by love one another earnestly? What does it mean to love earnestly? And it's a question we really have to ask. Because if we move forward with sort of our own assumptions of what loving means and what it means to love earnestly means, and we sort of go based on our own thoughts and ideas about love, then there's a good chance that we completely miss out on what is being commanded here biblically. That our own concepts of love often vary greatly from the biblical concept of love. And so I want us to consider, what does it mean to love earnestly? Because there are so many misconceptions of what it means to love, and therefore to love earnestly. I mean, what would the person on the street think that this meant if you asked them? Or since it's Valentine's Day, right, if you were to go into Walmart and just stand in the Valentine's Day aisle, right, surrounded by the pink and the red, and you asked every person that came in to buy something there what it meant to love earnestly, I think we can guess what a majority of them would focus on. I think if you asked 100 people in Walmart, what does it mean to love earnestly, that the vast majority of them would say something like, well, okay, love earnestly, it means to just love with your whole heart. Right? It means to love with all of you, to feel really close to that person, to be really passionate about them. And then I'm guessing one or two slightly bitter husbands would say, well, apparently it means to buy, you know, chocolates and take them home. You know, I think the rest of the people who came in would probably focus on the emotional state of love. And that to love means to feel a certain way, and then to love earnestly would mean to really feel that way. And that then earnest love is love that it's filled with emotional highs. But frankly, if you were to think that this emotionally earnest love is what Peter has in mind here, you'd be way off. And you'd be way off, frankly, because you misunderstood both terms. You misunderstood the term love and the term earnestly in this context. So let's ask then, Peter, what do you mean by love? And then what do you mean to love earnestly? Well, the term for love here, as many of you probably know, there are several different terms in the Greek language for love that have different shades of meaning. And the term here that's used is agape. This is the agape love, right? If you were trying to talk about romantic love, then you'd use some form of eros love, right? It's not the purpose here. The idea here is agape love. And what does agape love mean? To love someone with agape love means that you are always seeking the good of the other person. Notice the words here. You're always seeking the good of the other person. You're not always just simply hoping for the good of another person. You're always seeking the good of the person who you claim to love. So it's really not about your feeling towards them, because frankly, you cannot feel very happy about someone, and yet you can still insist on seeking their good. And that's why, then, this kind of love can be commanded. That's why Peter can actually command you to keep on loving. Keep on seeking the good of those around you and seeking that good earnestly. Because consider, if what love meant here was an emotional concept, then how in the world could Peter command you to feel a certain way? Just not really the way that emotions work, right? We can't command ourselves, okay, feel really awesome towards that person and suddenly you feel that way. Right? This doesn't happen. It's not the way our feelings work. And that's why it's so important that agape love isn't connected to your feelings. Right? Peter's not commanding you, feel really warm towards everyone. And also, he's not saying feel really warm towards everyone because that doesn't actually do anything for them. Agape love, on the other hand, agape love actually seeks the good of someone. It actually seeks it out. It's not about feeling. The evidence of agape love is action, not words. Right? You want to know if there's love, if there's agape love, don't just look for nice words being said. Look to see if those are being followed through on. Right? Or are they acting on your behalf? Are they acting in your best interests? Are they willing to serve you? Are they willing to serve you, willing to do things to help you? Are they actively seeking your good? Notice active action. Are they even willing to sacrifice their own desires at times to do something for your good? Because that is agape love. And Peter commands us to have this type of love, this agape love, seeking one another's good in action. He commands us to have this type of love for one another. For all Christian brothers and sisters, regardless of how you feel about them. That we should be seeking the good of one another and then acting upon that good. And that's what Peter means when he says to love one another. But now we got to ask, okay, what does he mean by earnestly? What is this command, earnestly? The Greek word is somewhat difficult, frankly, to put into English words. And as a result, you'll find a bunch of different translations in the English. If you got the ESV in front of you, then you see the term earnestly. If you're old school, you got the King James, right? Then you're seeing the word fervent. NASB also does fervent. If you got the NIV, it actually says to love one another deeply. And you'll see a variety of words in this. You'll even find the term intensely in a translation. And because it's a difficult word to really translate. So, earnestly, fervently, deeply, intensely. Well, if you were to assume then that love was about emotion, then loving earnestly might hint at just a really strong emotion, to be maybe overwhelmed with emotion. But the fact that agape love is about action and not emotion actually fits perfectly with this Greek term. Because this Greek term of earnestly is actually used to talk about action in an activity. The term is used to describe physical action. The term is ektenes in Greek, ektenes. And it can mean persevering or acting earnestly, but the emphasis is on effort. The emphasis here is actually on effort, and this term is used for two different descriptions. It's used to describe a horse at full gallop. A horse that is at full gallop, and it's used also to describe a runner at the end of a race that strains at the very end to reach the tape or to reach the finish line, that stretches forth to win the race. And you notice both of these uses sort of give us this idea. It is the idea of being stretched out, right? When a horse is at full gallop, it's when the horse finally is fully extended, reaches out, and then pulls on the ground. Or think about a runner at the very end of a race, That it is that runner who stretches fully out to extend themselves and strain themselves to the furthest extent that their body can go to finish the race. And so really, this is a perfect picture for this type of earnest love. It is love that is stretched to its limits. And it is a physical aspect. It's a physical stretching. Right? Consider it this way, right? Many of you probably watched the Super Bowl last week. And it is the physical action of being fully stretched out. There was a moment that visualizes this perfectly. In the fourth quarter, the Atlanta Falcons are desperately trying to not blow the game. And so they throw a 30-yard pass to Julio Jones. Julio Jones, one of the greatest, most athletic wide receivers in the NFL right now. He's 6'3", and he's just a freak athlete. And Matt Ryan throws this ball that you kind of think he's just throwing out of bounds. And yet the receiver gets to the very edge of the line, stretches himself completely out, keeps his toes somehow in bounds, catches the ball, and comes down with it. And as we watched it in real time, those of us who were at the party together said, yeah, there's no way he was in bounds there. And yet they show this replay, and here he is stretched completely out at the full extent of his 6'3 frame plus his wingspan, right, stretched all the way out, the very limits of his physical body and physical capabilities. And that's what ektenes means. Right? That's what ektenes means. It means to be stretched completely out to your very limit. And Peter says, love one another, actively seeking their good, and do it all the way to the breaking point, to where you stretch yourself to your very limits in love for one another. And this is what it means to have agape love for your fellow believers. Love one another earnestly. Stretch yourself to your very limit in seeking the good of those around you. Love earnestly. So this is the what. What does Peter tell us to do? What does Peter command? He commands us to keep on loving one another earnestly, that we would physically exhaust ourselves and stretch ourselves to our very limits in seeking out and acting upon the good of one another. This is the what, and now we get to the why. The second half of this verse, here is the why. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Since love covers a multitude of sins. Why should we love this way? Why should we stretch ourselves out? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Now we got to ask, what does Peter mean that love covers a multitude of sins? Well, I think he has two meanings, and the reason why I think he has two meanings is because this exact phrase, or very similar phrase, is used two other times in Scripture, once in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament. And each of these other two uses has two very clear meanings. So let's look at these two other verses and look at these two other meanings. What does Peter mean that love covers over a multitude of sins? First, love covers a multitude of sins because it actually covers their sin before God in heaven. And when we love others, it actually covers their sin before God in heaven. And before you fire me for heresy, let me clarify. Right? Just because we love someone doesn't, of course, make it so that they're saved and that their sin is actually forgiven. The Bible's very clear, right, that a forgiveness in our sins being forgiven by God only happens when each person recognizes their sin and repents before God. However, I still say that love can cover their sins before God in heaven because that's what James 5:20 says. So let's look at James 5:20. Flip about four pages back. James 5:20 says this. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Here's the exact phrase. James says, let your fellow believers know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And so this is why I say that I truly believe that when you love someone earnestly, that when you stretch yourself to the limit of love, that you might actually be able to sort of cover their sins before God, basically because you love them into repentance. You love them so well that they see that love and they turn around. Right? It seems to be the idea with James that when you bring someone back, and how do you bring someone back? You bring them back by loving them, by stretching yourself out in love, that when you bring someone back, then what happens is as you bring them back, they recognize their own sin and they repent before God, and now their sins are covered. And really, your love had a lot to do with that. So when we say love one another earnestly and deeply, because by loving someone who's gone astray, by loving someone earnestly and deeply who's fallen, who's heading down the wrong path, when you love them earnestly and deeply, they might see that love and turn around, and that love then will have helped them get their sins covered. And I think this is part of what Peter has in mind when he says, look, love one another earnestly and deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And I think he flips three pages back in his Bible, right, and sees James speaking and says, you know, yeah, love covers a multitude of sins. And so I think this is the first way that our love, right, this is the first connection that Peter probably has in mind when he says, love one another earnestly because love covers a multitude of sins. I think this is the first thought he has in mind. But the second one, I think, is probably the more natural. The one that our mind goes to rather quickly. Love covers a multitude of sins means that love sort of covers their sins and weaknesses down here on earth. How does it do this? That when we are stretched most to the limit in our love for one another, that even when someone has hurt or wronged us, that loving them and an agape love, continuing to seek their good even when they have wronged us, that type of love leads you to forgiveness. That loving earnestly leads to forgiving. Proverbs 10, verse 12 says, Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And the Greek version of the Old Testament has the same terms here for love and covers. And I think then Peter must have had this in mind as he said it. That hatred stirs up strife, but when you love, that covers all offenses. Why? Because when you stretch yourself out in love, when you stretch yourself out in love, then you will forgive. Right? This is the principle that love helps us cover over, to overlook, to forgive, and to forget a multitude of sins. And these are sins against us even. Because the truth is that there are two possible responses when someone wrongs you. There's really only two different paths that you can take. Because when someone wrongs you, you can respond like this. You can be angry and bitter. We can hold it against them. We can cut them off from our lives or retaliate in kind. But as the proverb says, when you respond like this, it only stirs up more strife. There's no forgiveness to be had in those attitudes. Or when sinned against, you can respond with agape love, continuing to seek their good. Right? And here you see that it's not emotion, because when you're hurt, you're hurt. You're not feeling emotionally connected to them, but you can still love them. You can still seek their good actively. And this love will cover their offenses, will cover the multitude of sins. Instead of responding with anger and arguments, you can respond with love and forgiveness. This will cover those faults and failures of those who have hurt you. This is the kind of love in 1 Corinthians 13 that's not rude, that doesn't insist on its own way, that bears all things and forgives all things and endures all things, because forgiveness is like love. It is a choice, it is an action, it is not an emotion. It is a personal decision to continue loving even when you've been wronged, and this love will lead you to forgive. This love will cover over a multitude of hurts. Of course, this is hard. This is not an easy love, because at the heart of this love is the idea that you've been wronged. It is an easy love to love those who love you back and treat you well and are always friendly, but when Peter says that love covers over a multitude of sins, he's talking specifically about those who need your love the most, because they have wronged you the most. Do you want to live in peace with those around you? You want to live in peace with those around you? Then love and forgive. You want to live in peace with those even who have harmed you? Then love. But they've harmed me. Well, stretch yourself out in love towards them. But I need them to apologize first and to realize what they've... No, you don't. Your love can lead you to forgive. Love earnestly, because love removes the substance of strife. Wayne Grudem said, where love abounds in a fellowship of Christians, many small offenses, and even some large ones, are overlooked and forgotten. But where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion. Every action is liable to misunderstanding, and conflicts abound. I think he hit it right on the head. Because love covers a multitude of sins, and that is the type of love that you choose. The type of love that is an action that seeks one another's good and stretches itself to the limit. And so this is what we're called to do. To love earnestly, to stretch ourselves out in love to one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. To say, how can we do this? Where can we possibly find that kind of love? Because this is so counterintuitive. I mean, the culture around us says, no, your love should always have a limit for others. Only love as long as it benefits you. Right? Don't go out of your way to love. Just love when it's convenient. Just love when you feel like it. You say, so how? How in the world do we find this kind of love within us? Well, you can't, because that kind of love doesn't come from within you. Because you're incapable of that kind of love on your own. But how appropriate that this type of love would come from Jesus. And what a perfect example Jesus is here, the one who sought our own good. That even when we weren't loving him, he agape loved us in seeking our own good. And how did he do that? He did it ektenes, he did it earnestly, he did it literally, by stretching himself out in love. That Jesus stretched himself out in love as he stretched his arms out on the cross. And he did it for our own good as a deliberate, active will, right? To come for the sole purpose of acting on our behalf and stretching himself to the very limit of love so that our sins might be covered. But as his love flowed down, that love and blood covered our sins. For when Peter is telling us that we should love one another because love covers a multitude of sins, he knows how in the world in the Christian fellowship do our minds not instantly go to the one who loved us and covered our sins with his love, to the one who stretched himself out on our behalf? We struggle to love the unlovable. Well, Christ loved us when we were as unlovable as you can get. We struggle to stretch ourselves to the limit. Then just look at the cross. At one who stretched his arms wide for us, for our eternal good, so that we might be covered in his blood, so that our sins might be forgiven. Then we too should stretch ourselves out in love and forgive those who sin against us. It is this love and this stretching out that we remember today as we move into communion. And as we take communion, I'd encourage you to confess those sins, knowing in full confidence as you confess them that those sins have been covered by Jesus' love. Those sins have been covered by Jesus' blood. That as you confess, he is faithful and just, and forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to go ahead and invite both the worship team and the men who are helping with communion forward.